It's just me against the world.
For students heading into their first year of college this semester, mostly 18-year-olds who were born in 1996, Tupac has never been alive. Neither has Carl Sagan or Tiny Tim or JonBenet Ramsey. There are plenty of other cultural and historical frames of reference that shape their mindset. And we will try to better understand where the class of 2018 is coming from this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 28th. We will talk about the annual Beloit College Mindset List, which was released this week, and we will welcome your questions and thoughts on what 18-year-olds get or maybe don't get, either because they've grown up in a world that is much different than the world we grew up in, or maybe it's because we consider things that are new and exciting and novelties, they have been around for these kids forever. Do you have any examples? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest for this half hour. Ron Neef is a former public affairs director at Beloit College and one of the authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. And he joins us from studios at Beloit College. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. Again, we have been doing this maybe since you've been doing the Mindset List. How long has that been?
16 years.
Oh, wow. And what inspired the Mindset List? Remind us.
I think the initial impetus was a lot of lists that came off the Internet back in early days of the Internet in the mid-90s that were constantly noting that students, 18-year-olds, didn't know half of what their mentors, their parents did, and so on. It was we considered it a bit of boomer arrogance that if these kids were going to understand technology, realize they don't know half of what I did when I was their age, kind of thing, and that started it here on campus, and it was something we circulated with the idea that it's not what they know, it's what they've experienced in their lives. And we put this list together, and it gradually grew and spun into that relatively new experience of cyberspace, and all of a sudden started winding up in the media and on other campuses. So.
Right, it really took off, and it's getting a lot of national attention again this year. How do you decide what belongs on it?
It's Tom and I spend much of the year. I mean, we've already started because of the significant number of messages that we've received from people in response to this year's list, and we start noting things. It's delving into the media of the period, and then Tom, as the scholar in the team, Tom McBride, will get into journals and critical articles and so on about the generation in general. And so we eventually wind up with a list of 200-300 items, and then start determining what really relates.
Yeah. So talk though a little bit more about why this is helpful. Why should we read this mindset list? What do you want readers to take away from the mindset list?
Well, one of the original ideas also with this was Tom was the head of the freshman seminar program at Beloit, and he shared the list with those faculty that were teaching in that program, just as a reminder that their frame of reference, which at their age may have had critical elements like Vietnam or Kennedy or Nixon or Czechoslovakia or, you know, and so on, These things had to be explained. The Beatles were not necessarily something that meant as much to this generation as they did to their mentors. So that was kind of a critical thing, and I think it's where a lot of the interest in the list comes from. It's both makes everybody one generation feel older, and the other generation perhaps recognize that they're about to learn about a lot of things.
Yeah, and I, it's my hope, I guess, that understanding where the 18-year-old is in life, the cultural, historical framework of that 18-year-old, we will understand the younger generation a little bit more than we do.
Yes, I think that's, you know, for faculty, parents, grandparents, you know, whatever, that understanding. In fact, our book, the Mindset Lists of American History, has been used in, for instance, high school AP history course, where the students were then, once they understood how it's put together, went home and interviewed their parents and relatives about their lives, you know, to determine what their parents' mindset list was. Then went to the library and did the research that had to be done in connection with it, using the media and so on. And you know, we found that the students really enjoyed it, learned a great deal, but the parents said that it was the first time they'd ever had that conversation with their kids.
Yeah, well, now, for example, you note on the list, it's not one of the items, but you note on the list that Tupac and other, I guess, well-known people that maybe, you know, were big with their parents' generation have never been alive. Why is it important to know that Tupac, Carl Sagan, Tiny Tim, or JonBenet Ramsey have never been alive in the lifetime of the college freshman?
Well, I think it's to a great extent it's to make you feel older, and to remind people of how quickly time passes, because every year we get one of those first reactions. I can't believe it was 18 years ago. And Joy, if I could just interrupt for a moment, Tom McBride has just arrived, so you got both of us here now.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Tom McBride is a professor of English and Kiefer Professor of the Humanities at Beloit College, and he is co-author as well as Ron Neef of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. So welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Joy. One small correction. I retired in mid-May, so I'm now Professor Emeritus, and that means that I do the same job, but I don't get paid.
Well, so is that why you're late this morning, Tom?
I'm late because I had to drive from Janesville to Beloit, but I wanted to get here as soon as possible because it's not every day I get to talk to you, Joy.
And I'm just teasing because we actually expected you to join us at 6:30, so it's nice to have you a little bit earlier.
Right. I think the cats and dog were a little disgruntled with me this morning, and my wife is away, but I'm sure they'll survive.
And one of the other things on the list every year, celebrities who are old enough to have kids starting college. This year, it's Madonna and Sylvester Stallone. So their children are what? They're college freshmen this year too. That does just make us feel old, doesn't it?
That's right. I believe Madonna's daughter is starting the University of Michigan, and I'm not really sure about Stallone's daughter, but in any case, vast centrist conspiracy to make you feel old.
Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll really dive into the Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2018. Talking with the co-authors of this list. They've been doing this now for 16 years. Tom McBride, a professor emeritus of English at Beloit College, and Ron Neef, former public affairs director at Beloit College. We welcome any questions you might have. We welcome any examples you might have, things you think might be appropriate for this year's lists. What references are you seeing young people not getting, or what are young people accustomed to that maybe you don't get? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. From the Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2018, which was released just a couple of days ago, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart has always been the only news program that really gets it right. It's been on the air for their entire lives. So that's one of the items from the Mindset List. We'll talk about that and others, and welcome your suggestions, your questions, your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Ron Neef and Tom McBride from Beloit College, the co-authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. And there are a number of items from television that we'll talk about, and why not talk about The Daily Show? So why is what does that tell us about the freshman class, that The Daily Show with Jon Stewart has been the only fake news program that really gets it right?
Well, I think it contributes to the current state of political polarity with this generation and with society in general, because it's not just The Daily Show that's been on the air since they were born. The Daily Show came on in 96. So did Fox News and MSNBC. So throughout their lives, when they wanted the news, they knew where to get the news they wanted by going to one of these sources. And, you know, things like bipartisan agreement have hardly been experiences they've had. And I've never been introduced with The Daily Show music before. That's very impressive.
Well, we might be using that again in our 8 o'clock hour, because we're going to be talking about, the influence, the effect comedians have on politics. And we're going to talk with the author of the book, Politics is a Joke. But it's no joke that these kids, the 18-year-olds of today, This polarized political environment that we think just kind of happened in the last couple of years, they have been living with this all their lives for the most part.
Yeah, and I think in a sense it's an improvement over back in the late 90s. People were complaining that generation was getting its news from Jay Leno and David Letterman. Now it's more YouTube and The Daily Show, so there's a little more substance to it.
Yeah, the one of them that's actually quite solemn. During their initial weeks of kindergarten, they were upset by endlessly repeated images of planes blasting into the World Trade Center. Boy, that's got to affect your mindset.
It does. The third week of kindergarten for them was actually dominated by Osama bin Laden, and when Osama bin Laden was killed, Brian Williams of NBC noticed that there was a particularly joyful response to that news from younger people, and I think it's because for them he was a sort of a boogeyman, just as, you know, for my generation it was Khrushchev, and for another generation it was Hitler. For them, it was much more Osama. And I know that my daughter, of course, is a little older than these students, but we and all of our friends rushed home from work so that we could pick them up as soon as they got out of school. We didn't want them coming home as latchkey kids. We didn't want them going to daycare without some direct parental comfort. So that was very, very, very much a day of horror for children. It was a day of horror, disorientation for all of us. But I think the younger you are, and the more you knew about it up to at least a point, you know, the more horrific it was and the more scary it was.
Mm-hmm. And number two on the list, since they binge watch their favorite TV shows, they might like to binge watch the video portions of their courses, too. I don't know. Will they really?
Well, this is, of course, for me, of all the items on the 50, of the 55-item list, this is the most fascinating for me as an educator. Because for one thing, I've had the somewhat dubious privilege of binge watching a full season of Girls with my daughter on her laptop. I was visiting her in New York City. I suggested that we might want to go to the Cloisters. She wanted to binge watch the Girls on her laptop so that I could see what it was all about. She said, "You're a self-styled expert on young people. Well, you need a little Girls in your life." I think this may come together with the increasing reliance of video in American higher education, podcast lectures, webcast lectures, flipped classrooms, MOOCs, and so forth. And I just have this sort of horrible fantasy that in 20 years, the new cramming won't be reading the material the night before the exam, but it'll be binge watching all the lectures the night before the exam.
Yeah, I guess I have to admit, my preparation for this show has changed to some extent. I do watch a lot of videos online more so than I ever did before when prepping.
Well, and I'll just throw in here something that I've noticed also just in the last two or three years in the classroom. I'll mention a book, for example, Guns, Germs, and Steel, the Jared Diamond classic, sizing up to be a classic. And I'll make a reference to it, and I'll say, it's too bad we don't have time to read this book in this class, but it's really good, and I know you're busy, but if you ever have a chance. And a student will raise her hand and say, "Well, even though you can't read the book this term, there's a really great 30-minute video summarizing it, and you can find it on, wherever." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to hear a lot more of that.
Number three on the list. And Ron, tell us what this means. Meds have always been an option. MEDS, meds have always been an option.
Well, Ron wants me to take this one.
Okay.
because I've been, in the trenches. And, I think there are two ways to sort of get at this. One is to look at one study that suggested that in 1994, 20 years ago, fewer than 1% of young people in the United States under 17 were taking medication for ADHD. Now, nearly 5 out of 100 Americans under 17 are taking medication for ADHD. So that's one way of sort of getting some perspective on this. If you're actually in the trenches, it is almost certain that every term you will get a notification from a parent or from student services or from the student himself or herself that this particular student is on a regime of prescription medication which may need to be balanced or adjusted during the course of the semester. And will you please, in fact, take this into account? And the medications are for ADHD or depression or anxiety or whatever. So it's not just we adults who are taking a lot of prescription drugs. The young people are taking them too. And sometimes it's a matter of particular mental health issues that they've been diagnosed with. And in some instances, it really has to do with a prescription drug regime that will help them focus. So mood-altering drugs are sort of in the classroom now more than ever before. Not with every student by any means, but it's not unusual for there at least to be one, and that's just the one that's identified in a particular semester.
And so, when we speak around the country, we speak to counselors and educators. We hear about this everywhere. There's always a great groan on it. And I sometimes wonder, as far as the list goes, whether the idea that since 1996, prescription drugs, noting all their disturbing side effects, have flooded the airwaves.
Well, Ron, we have just a minute or so before a news break. Why don't you tell us one of the items from the mindset list that was a real, I don't know, light bulb moment for you, or one you found particularly significant or interesting?
Well, I think one along with the one about the images of planes going to the World Trade Center, I think the other really critical one is that since the year they were born, Dolly the sheep was cloned, so that cloning has always been a fact. There's not science fiction there. Cloning is just one of the realities.
Yeah, that's interesting. The same goes with the advancements in having babies. That's always been an option too, to have that
frozen embryos. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are talking with Ron Neef, a former public affairs director at Beloit College and one of the authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List, and his colleague and co-author, Tom McBride. Tom McBride is a professor emeritus of English and Kiefer Professor of the Humanities at Beloit College. We are talking about the Beloit College Mindset List for the incoming freshman class. These 18-year-olds who were born in 1996 have their own cultural and historical frames of reference that shape their mindset. And we are talking about some of those cultural references. We'll continue after we check the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday, August 28th. We are talking with the co-authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List, which was released this week in honor of the incoming class, freshman class of 2018. Every year, our two guests compile this list of cultural touchstones, historical references, different areas of history and popular culture that help us understand the mindset of 18-year-olds today. We are talking with Ron Neef, a former public affairs director at Beloit College, and Tom McBride, a professor emeritus of English and Humanities at Beloit College, both co-authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. Dolly the Sheep, The Birth of the Daily Show, The Death of Tupac Shakur are on this year's Beloit College Mindset List. It details many other cultural landmarks that college freshmen either have in common or, in some cases, might be too young to understand. We are talking about what's on the list this year and also what we can take away from this list. And we are welcoming your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let's get back to both of our guests who join us from a studio at Beloit College to talk about, I'd like to talk, there are 55 items on this list. Tom McBride, why don't you give us one area of items that you think are most important?
To me, one of the most important is quite paradoxical, and that is that they've never had to hide their dirty magazines under the bed.
Why is that?
Well, because they have them on their smartphones or tablets, and those are password protected. So they have this tremendous amount of privacy from their parents, while paradoxically surrendering that same privacy to Google and NSA. Which, of course, is mining a huge gob of data. theirs included. So I think, you know, we have this sort of contradiction about privacy. You get privacy locally, but you don't get privacy globally.
Yeah. Well, Adam on Facebook says that he thinks the biggest change has to be smartphones and how many feel having access to knowledge is the same as knowing the information. And then he goes on to say, on the other hand, they do have access to more information than any other group of people in history. Good or not, it's hard to say, he writes. Well, yeah, that smartphone is just a normal, everyday part of their lives, where for us it was kind of new, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the Facebook commentators really nailed it. That there is a vital difference between information and knowledge, just as there is a vital difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I think that this great plethora of information, among its other effects, has made that distinction harder and harder for students to understand. Information is now free and ubiquitous, and the larger implications of that, not only in terms of separating knowledge from information, but also in terms of, you know, what do you need the professor for? I think we're just at the beginning of that revolution. And the comic side of the revolution, of course, is that if you park outside any high school in the United States and wait for the bell to ring to let the students out for the afternoon, if you were from Mars, you would think that they all had ear infections because their hands immediately go up to their ears. Mm-hmm. Or you think that they are somehow trying to poke a clamshell. And yet, we know that indeed the amount of data on an ordinary iPhone is two or three times as great as all of the data required to send Neil Armstrong to the moon. This is really quite breathtaking. It's incredible. And if someone had said in 1969, all this data can be compressed times two in an instrument the size of a clamshell, we would have had that person committed.
So I want to know, Ron Neef, have you ever taken a selfie of yourself with a smartphone?
I've tried. I'm not good at targeting, but the selfie has replaced the autograph as the critical example of you know, high connections.
Yeah. Are there any examples on the list? Or give us an idea of an example on the list that is a dated reference or a dated reference a faculty member might want to avoid when dealing with college students.
Well, I would say the Unabomber certainly would, you know, head that list. The Unabomber has been in jail all their lives, and as a result of being in jail has, of course, been prevented from his various and sundry malfeasances and has faded from the headlines. So certainly a reference to the Unabomber would be dated. A reference to Joe Camel would be, you know, really quite dated. I suspect that even for many of them, a reference to Carl Sagan might actually be dated. Those are three that I can think of just off the top of my head.
One of the fun ones is that when they see wire-rimmed glasses, they think of Harry Potter, not John Lennon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they also are not the Saturday morning cartoon show watchers that we were. We were glued to Saturday morning cartoons, but they... Instead, they're not Saturday morning cartoon watchers. They watch Fox's Sunday night animation domination.
Well, there aren't any. For most of their lives, there haven't been the Saturday morning cartoon shows. The networks switched over to other things. But the fact is, they didn't watch that. But their parents have always had the option of going to the Disney Channel or one of the other sources of of entertainment.
Yeah, and I'd like to say something about the disappearance of those Saturday morning cartoons. When our kids were growing up, at least our older son, who's now 35, was growing up, of course, Saturday morning cartoons were a great babysitter. I mean, I think at that point, you know, we were at the end of the work week, we wanted a little break, and so we said, here, you know, watch Mighty Mouse or whatever. Where are they now? Well, they're just as likely to be at soccer practice. You know, this is a very overscheduled generation. They're just, they're quite possibly at cello practice. Saturdays are much more planned now than they used to be for a particular socioeconomic slice of this generation.
Yeah. So did you ever, Tom McBride, and this is not to mock 18-year-olds for their lack of knowledge, but did you ever use some sort of cultural reference that made your students, you know, raise their eyebrows or scratch their heads, saying, "What in the world is he talking about?"
Oh, sure. The most notorious one and embarrassing one for me was when I was teaching narrative theory one day, and I brought up Pulp Fiction. Because Pulp Fiction has such a neat narrative structure. And I got the blank stares. I thought Pulp Fiction, and I still think, by the way, Pulp Fiction is this extraordinarily stimulating and edgy motion picture and film, if I may use the antiquated word. And then suddenly I realized, just even as I was describing it, that indeed Pulp Fiction was a film that, you know, came out for this particular generation when they were only 2 years old, and they just didn't know Pulp Fiction. So I caught myself, and I had to do a lot of backing and filling and explaining about Tarantino and so forth and so on. But yes, I've had that experience, and of course, you know, there have been what we call mindset moments, not just in the classroom but out of the classroom. A woman wrote me last year and said that her early teenage daughter brought home a form for her to sign, and her mother said, "Oh, sure, I'll put my John Hancock on that," and the daughter said, "Would you please stop talking dirty?"
What about you, Ron? Any examples from your life?
Oh, I think we've all had that. I'm not sure. I can think of some blank stares that I've gotten back, but it's it's more my feeling that I suddenly have said something and I've slipped into the dial the telephone kind of reference, or a silly one that I recall of. Kidding around, but still serious. I said, what's it look like? Where am I going to find it? I said, it's bigger than a bread box.
And it's like, what's that?
and it was just what we call the mindset moment. They just stood there looking at me, and I realized I had just crossed the line or failed to cross the line.
That's funny. We have some callers, so let's go to Stephen in Madison. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. And this is a really good topic. I really like things like this. So I had a couple comments, and then what you just said made me think of another one. One, about the Saturday morning cartoons, I think the overall more broad point and a more accurate point would be that today's 18-year-olds do not watch television. Broadcast television is not something that this generation is interested in or watches. Everybody streams video from the Internet. I don't know anybody under the age of 25 that has anything other than bunny ears. So there's that. I'm 28. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that you mentioned film as antiquated, but even today's modern HD movies are on digital film. It's just a different type of film. And then the other thing, sorry, was that I'm 28 years old, and when you said bread box, I was like, what? So I guess maybe that one's a little bit older than 18-year-olds.
Oh, well.
Yeah, the streaming video. People don't watch TV anymore. It's just streaming online.
Yeah, so they're not, the 18-year-olds today just aren't watching TV.
They watch TV everywhere except on TV. And the paradox there, you know, is that while we adults are getting into larger and larger flat screens, they are into smaller and smaller flat screens. But, you know, one of the comments that Steve made, he referred to bunny ears. We have a new book coming out next week called The Mindset List of the Obscure, and we call them rabbit ears. They were, of course, a dipole antenna, which was a staple technology of the early days of TV in the 50s. And there are only two technologies for the 50s and early 60s in the book that have actually sort of hung on. One of them is rabbit ears, which Steve referred to as bunny ears. And because people watch streaming, and if they want to watch TV, you know, they don't get cable. They just want to, you know, they can watch local TV with what he called the bunny ears. And the other one that's hung on a little bit is beta, which remains a kind of cult way of watching video in Japan. So I was fascinated with his reference to bunny ears.
Yeah, me too. I thought the same thing.
I think the other side of this TV question is that parents, you know, the true students do not watch, this generation doesn't watch TV on televisions. Parents finally have a rating system they can rely on to judge violence on TV, but their kids don't watch TV anymore. So,
yeah,
so much for the V-chip.
Let's go to Barb in Green Bay next. Hello, Barb.
Hi, Joy. I just wanted to relate an experience I had a couple weeks ago up at our cottage in Door County. We had two 18-year-olds, and they were going to go on a date for dinner. So she got on her smartphone right away and looked at all the restaurants in the area and found a restaurant with goats on the roof. And she thought, oh, that's great. So she watched a little movie about how the goats got there and everything, and I was pretty impressed with that. So they went on their date, and they came back, and we said, well, how was it? Oh, it was great. The service was so fast. And we said, well, what about the food? Well, that was good, but they just raved about how fast the service was. So it's a whole different perspective and mindset about going out to dinner. Apparently, speed is a very valuable commodity with that.
Interesting, yeah.
That's really a fascinating observation. I mean, I think this generation is, you know, into food. They're particularly into healthy foods. And, of course, there's a gender factor here, too, in the sense that you have more and more men who are, you know, cooking. It's the whole metrosexual thing. But I think that Barbara's comment is really quite fascinating because of the extent to which this is a generation that really has a kind of, you know, fetish for the efficient, for the instant, for the fast. You know, they have a kind of fetish for alacrity. And so, yeah, you know, service was just great. I mean, you know, it's sort of a piece with all those ads that you get about, is your Mac too slow? You know, that constantly pop up, you know, on your laptop.
Yeah, that's and just the fact that back in the day we didn't you know, look up a dozen different reviews or restaurants on our phones. It was, you know, sort of, I don't know, the one romantic restaurant in town that you would go to or something like that. So that was, it's a very different experience that way.
Well, and you wonder about the, you know, the sort of sense of adventure that's taken away. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Okay, we found this the other. We don't know a lot about it. Let's try this. Well, of course, you know, with apps, you know, things, life becomes much more predictable in a sense. That again is another one of the implications of a world that is, you know, now experiencing a tsunami of information.
Yeah. Now, Tom McBride gave us a hint of your new book coming out, Ron Neef. I didn't realize it was next week. Well, we will talk to you about that book at some point. What is this book and the point of this book?
The Mindset List of the Obscure is 74 famously forgotten icons of the 20th century from A to Z. It basically is looking at everything from the A&P and Arthur Miller, Arthur Godfrey, and through to Queen for a Day and the Zapruder film, elements, icons of a time that those of us who are in the boomer generation recall with great fondness or at least great knowledge, and they were very much part of our lives. The book looks at those things and ties them to the past and to the future. You know, the idea of Arthur Murray and his wonderful dance party on television, which was really the basis for today's Dancing with the Stars and You Think You Can Dance and so on. It's a fun book. It's pure nostalgia, but nostalgia is good, and I think it's a good distraction.
Yeah, and I know we have to let you both go a little early because you have another media interview coming up. Maybe you can both leave us with a thought on the mindset of the class of 2018. Tom?
Well, I think the first thing I would want to say is that I think this is a very, very bright, promising, energetic, socially conscious generation. And I think they're going to do great things, but they're not going to do great things in the same way and with the same technology and in the same style that previous generations have. And I think this is the thing that most disorients the older generation as they see these kids. They see them, you know, in restaurants, and they don't look them in the eye. Instead, they're looking at their smartphones, and they think that something terribly amiss is going on. But I'm here to say that human nature has a way of asserting itself, and this is a very energetic and I think very promising young generation of young people.
And Ron?
Well, I guess you know, one of the questions that we have is how will students handle that lack of immediate reaction, the fact that success can be judged by 30 likes on your Facebook page in the course of the afternoon. Things are going to change dramatically for the way they're perceived, and are they going to find their reality over the virtual reality that we create with social media?
Thank you both very much for being with us. Ron Neef, former public affairs director at Beloit College, and Tom McBride, a professor emeritus of English and Kiefer professor of the humanities at Beloit College, both co-authors of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy later in the day. There is a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs today will be in the low to mid-70s. Tonight, it's going to be cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, with a low near 60 degrees. Stay with us. Coming up this afternoon on Central Time between 3 and 6, ice water bucket dumping went viral and attracted awareness and donations to the fight against Lou Gehrig's disease. But how should we actually decide which charities to give money to, even if the viral videos have subsided? Our guest lays out some guiding principles for donating coming up after 4 on Central Time. Then, coming up in our next hour, after 7 o'clock, we will be on the campaign trail. We will be talking with the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, which was just released yesterday, and finds that we have a race for governor that's in a dead heat. Governor Scott Walker leads Democratic challenger Mary Burke among registered voters, but Burke leads Walker among likely voters. We will talk with Charles Franklin about why he says it's quite striking that so little has changed this summer, and about where residents stand on job creation, Act 10, and other issues. We will examine the candidates and the issues in the races coming up in our next hour. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, to Justin Williams for producing these programs. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.